Amen. On this day for God, he didn't have to do it, but he did. And I'm just grateful to him. All of those in virtual land, or if you're on the podcast, or whether you listen to us on YouTube or Facebook, or even on the Zoom, amen. Just so grateful to have all of you all here on this morning. For those who don't know, my name is Dr. Peter Ely, and I get the wonderful privilege of serving these people here at the Safe House Church of Greensboro, North Carolina. Amen. For this is the place where leaders send their leaders to train. Amen. We believe that solely, that God has just been so good to us, where we walk by faith and not by sight. And we walk, you know, we just the people who believe in living holy. We just the people who believe in living right. We're not a perfect people, not by far. If you're looking for perfection, you're not going to find it here. But if you're looking for safety, you're looking to be lifted up, you're looking to be pushed to your next level. If you're looking to be scratched as believers, oh, come on, somebody. My believers, my church will tell you that you will be scratched if you're in the Safe House Church. That's just what we believe. We don't believe that God has called you just to sit on what it is he's giving you, but what he's called us to scratch, that we are to scratch the things that he's given us. And as we scratch, then what? We grow, amen. You know, we grow from milk to meat, that we're not just raising babies. You cannot be on the milk bottle all your life. Come on, somebody. At some point in time, you'll be able to stand on your faith on your own, because we know there have been times, this time has come, that you're going to have to stand on your faith by yourself. You're going to have to know something for yourself. As my late assistant pastor, Brother Julius, used to say, we used to call him Brother Buddy, he said, you got to know something for yourself. And what we doing here at the Safe House Church, we want you all to know something for yourself. It's good, and I'm grateful that you be here with me. But when you leave, I want you to open up your Bible. Oh, come on, somebody. I know all churches don't teach like this, all churches don't preach like this. But see, you are supposed to be able to stand on your own two feet. You don't need to come and find, I need to ask my pastor. No, you know it. You know, oh, come on, somebody. That's how we train here. That what believers here, what, that you be able to stand still and know that he's God. You'll be able to defend your faith on your own. Amen. But we all come together for the goodness of him. We come together to share and love and encourage one another. I was so encouraged on last week and overwhelmed by the powerful testimonies and, you know, the emails and the texts and things continually come in about how blessed you all preached on last Sunday. Whether y'all know it or not, you all preached. And we just talk about what God has did in just 90 days. Oh, come on, somebody. 90 days, we just trusted God with a financial seed, and he blessed many of you all over and beyond. I mean, I know he blessed me 8, 9, 10, 12 times over, amen. You know, the Bible says he gives seed to the sower. So if you are a sower, whatever, the Bible says it also, like this, said, God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So we sold financially, and God, he blessed us financially. And many of you saw that, you know, come over 10, 100, some 1,000 fold, amen. And we're just grateful to God for that. But now we're asking that what you sow of yourself. This is the year of the double harvest. You know, you put one harvest in and you get another. Amen. But now he's asking us what? To scratch ourselves again. God, what? It's progressive. Amen. And, you know, Safe House Church is a progressive church. We are progressive believers. We believe God. We literally believe him for what his word is. Amen. And he continues to show himself strong. So now God is telling us in this season that what? What if you threw yourself at something? How many of you, have you actually are honest with yourself, know that you've really never thrown yourself at anything? You're never giving yourself to all to anything. And what we're suggesting and what we're asking, you know, for the next 90 days, that you find somebody, same sex, male to male, female to female, that you throw yourself at them in the sense that you dedicate yourself to them. Amen. You know, you don't Jesus them to death. You just live the life, and you be there. You be accountable. You be a friend. You be a confidant. And watch God turn some lives. Watch God change some things. What? Because this is about discipleship, brothers and sisters. This is about discipleship that one begats another. Amen. You know, sheep reproduce other sheep. Amen. So this is what this is about. So and what God is doing in this is that he grows you. See, I as a teacher and then all my teaching training, you know, when I realize I really know something, it's when I'm able to help somebody else do it. Woo! Come on, somebody. Did y'all catch that? See, when I want to really understand that I know how to do a thing, what I do is then I spend time helping somebody else do it. And when I spend somebody time helping somebody else do it, what happens is it forces me to understand the thing in more than one way. It forces me to understand the thing in one aspect. Why? Because I need to know multiple aspects to be able to explain this. Because if I explain it one way and you don't get it, then it's my job as the teacher or the tutor to be able to what? Find another way for you to be able to get this thing. Oh, come on, somebody. Are y'all with me? So if you continually find multiple ways, then that means what? You have multiple understandings of the same text. You have multiple understanding of the same situation, the same circumstance, whatever the case may be, which makes you a stronger believer. It makes you a stronger learner. Because if you can know it multiple ways, then you'll understand that, okay, maybe this approach doesn't work this time, but let me try it another way. And maybe this approach doesn't work that way, and let me try it another way. And maybe let me do this one this way and that one that way. So what you find is that what you find multiple ways to do the same thing. Come on, somebody. The end result is still the same. And God uses you and I. Why? Because the way I approach somebody may not work for them, but the way you approach them in your small, sweet, kind voice. And some of you have this most prettiest little voices, and you're just so kind. And, you know, versus me, I might be a little bit more aggressive, but there are some people who gravitate to my aggressive style. It's just who I am, amen. And as we grow, you know, and God continues to grow us and change us, amen, that what? Everybody has a group of people that God has called them to. And all I'm asking you to do is what? Go reach that group. Go reach that group. I know it's going to require some of you. It's going to require you to live holy. Woo! It's going to require you to do the right thing. It's going to require you sometimes some self-sacrifice. But this is what this is about, because it's not about you anyway, baby. Remember, you were bought with a price. And that price was his blood that was shed on Calvary. That price was his blood that was shed on Calvary. And we ought to be reminded of that. And because we are reminded of that, that God does what? He takes care of us. He does. He puts his arms around us. He loves on us. He keeps us and he strengthens us. And I'm just so grateful to all of you all this morning for being here with us as we embark on the next 90 days of just self-sacrifice that towards somebody, you know, a non-believer that God just laid on your heart to connect with, a non-believer who God has laid on your heart to connect with, that you just go and connect. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Are you happy in Jesus on today? I hope that you are happy. If you're happy in Jesus on today, why don't you put in the chat? Just say, I'm happy. You know, it's good to be happy. Remember, happy is always usually based off something happening to one person, which means that usually that means they want something good to happen to them. But, you know, it's a difference between happiness and joy. See, joy is a constant thing, you know. So I like happy. Don't get me wrong, I like happy, but joy is a little better. Joy means that what, you know, no matter what comes, what may that, you know what, I'm going to be all right. That joy I have, what the world ain't give it and the world cannot take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm not going to belong the moment any more longer. We're going to get right into, I believe, what God has given us. And I'm just so grateful for the powerful, powerful testimonies on that. So y'all just don't know how many of your brothers and sisters all across the world and just within our own church congregation that you all blessed with, you all sharing what God had done for you and sharing you know, the tremendous things in your life. Some of you all have some tremendous testimonies, and we talked about last week the power of your story. So many of you don't believe that you have anything to give, and I'm here to tell you today that you have more to give. Oh, come on, somebody. This is what we're going to talk about today. You have more to give than you realize. Amen. And it's because we don't realize it. We look at ourselves in a certain way, in a certain circumstance, in a certain situation, and we just think, Lord, woe is me. But God said, no, not so. There is more for you. How many of you know that there is more? There is more for you. Would you turn with me so kind on this day? And I want to give honor to all the members of the Safe House Church, also to First Lady Ely, amen. Just so grateful to have her as my bride and my companion, my wife, amen. And all my children and those here at the house. We're just so grateful. Ask our members, keep your eyes out. You know, we're still looking for a building in the Greensboro area. If y'all find something, you know, like I said, you know, God, I've been looking, and God hadn't put anything particular on my heart. But if you see something, let us know so we can go out at least check it out. You know, I just refuse to not be a good steward of God's resources, amen. We know these rent prices and stuff are about to start coming down. They have to come down, or people are going to start losing these buildings and stuff. So something has to change, something has to break. And we believe that it's going to break and it's going to be in our favor, you know. And more each and every day, I'm starting to look, you know what? We got enough money. We just go buy us a building. Amen. We can just go buy us a building and be done with it. Amen. So, you know, but we want to, you know, we want to make sure that we don't get ahead of God, because sometimes, you know, the Bible says it like this: lean not into your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. So, yes, my manly understanding would say, hey, we just go buy a building and be done with it. But God's understanding say he sees things down the road that I may not see. You know, it may be a sound decision, you know, from where I can stand and where I see. But see, he knows what's down the road. He knows what's ahead of us. So that's why what we have to trust him and trust that he has directed our paths. All right, if you'll be so kind, we turn to Kings. First Kings, I'm going to put it here on the screen. I'm going to go to First Kings today, the 17th chapter. First Kings 17th chapter, and that is verse number 8. First Kings 17, verse number 8. Let's see if I can make this a little bit bigger for y'all in the back. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 17. I mean, First Kings 17. I'm going to go to verse number 8. I think that should help you a little bit. So hopefully y'all can see that a little better. We want to start at 8 here on today. All right, and it says this. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, As the Lord thou God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a curse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the curse of oil fail until the day the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and said, and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the curse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Would you pray with me? Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, Lord. We ask that, Lord, this reading of your word, Lord Jesus. We ask that, Lord, that this word today be nourishment to their bodies, oh God, their spiritual bodies, oh God, that their faith may be, Lord Jesus, lifted up, oh God, Lord, that someone may be encouraged today, that someone may pick up this book, oh God, Lord Jesus, to see what you have to say to them, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, as this word penetrate their hearts, their minds, their bodies, their souls, and their spirits, oh God, and be grateful. And we honor you on today. And we ask you all these things to others in the powerful name of Jesus. For we know this one thing, and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. If I could and I would use for a subject on this morning, is that you have more. Why don't you hunt your neighbor or slap your neighbor or slap him against the wall or talk to you, you know, cast with the friendly ghost or whoever it is that's with you, say, you have more. Oh, yes, yes, you have more, you have more, you have more. What we find here on today, that we're reading another one of these wonderful, wonderful trials and tribulations of the brother of Elijah. Elijah is here, and God has told him to run out, and he was going to take care of him. And if you read the verses, if you start at the first of First Kings in 17, you'll find out that Elijah is now leaving the city, and he's out here, and Elijah's being fed by the birds of the air. The Bible says that he told him that the ravens of the air would bring him food, and that he was to drink from the brook. See, everybody wants to be a prophet, but everybody wants to live a prophet life. But that prophet life is a life of what? Sacrifice. It's a life of sometimes being in isolation and being alone. You know, I spend a lot of time alone. I do a lot of driving. Amen. I do a lot of running up and down the road. So I spend many, many hours by myself, you know, and, you know, whether I'm at my job or sometimes being away from my family, doing what I got to do to take care of my family. But during those times of isolation, I find they also times of revelation. Oh, come on, somebody. Times of isolation can be times of revelation. And here, what we find that Elijah is out and he's out and about and he's being fed so he's drinking from the brook. Remember, he had just prayed that there was going to be no rain that was going to come to the land. And since the land was not having any rain, then that means that what resources were going to run dry. How many of you know when there's no rain in the land, that resources run dry? That everything on our earth needs water to sustain it. Do you not know that? Everything on our earth needs water to sustain it. This is why when we do space exploration, y'all see that they go to Mars and they go to all these different planets. And what are they doing? They're always looking for what? Water. Why? Because if they can find water, then that means water, what we know from the little bit that we know as humans, that what it sustains life. So there may be a life form there if there is water. And then if there's water, then that means what? There's also oxygen present. Y'all hear me? We know that we need oxygen for our bodies to sustain that. We know we breathe in oxygen and we spew out carbon monoxide. You know, it's kind of funny that what we actually spew, when we actually what, breathe in life and we spit out death. Think about that for a moment. We breathe in life because the oxygen is life, but what we send out is what, actually death. The carbon, the oxide that comes out of us that our body exchanges. Our body takes in the fresh oxygen and it takes what? That oxygen, and then it exchanges it for this deadly poison and it pushes it out. Y'all with me? So they go to these places and they're looking for water so that they what? If they find water, then they mean that they know and they believe that oxygen could be present there. And if oxygen is present, based on what the little bit we know, because remember, we don't know everything, but the little bit we know and based on our commonality and the little bit that we know that we believe to what? That life may be there. Life there might live on something else. They might actually live on carbon dioxide, right? But but that's what we do. That's what we as humans do. So he goes here, and Elijah is what? Now he's here, and he's drinking from the brook. And as you read the story above that, what you find out is that every day that the birds, in the morning and in the afternoon, the birds bring him bread. And they also bring him what? They bring him flesh. The Bible said they bring him bread and flesh. Now, I don't know about you. I'd be a little spooky if the bird was bringing me food every day. But nonetheless, if you out there, you have nothing else to eat, then you, I guess you'll be what? Willing to bring what? I mean, eat whatever it is that they bring you. So I'm assuming maybe they brought him a little, you know, a little rabbit, and they brought him a piece of some kind of other wild animal or something like that was edible. This is just my assumption. Now, I don't know for sure, but the Bible said that the birds did what? They brought him flesh to eat. So, you know, they didn't say if he ate it raw or if he prepared it. I don't know. I don't have those kind of details, but the Bible said that he did have flesh. So that means that he had meat. That means that he also had protein. And then he had what? That he had bread. And he also had what? Water from the brook. But then there came a time that the brook dried up. How many of you know that sometimes in your season, there are seasons in your life that things change? There are seasons in your life that what used to be plentiful and it used to be full of life. And then you find out all of a sudden that you go to a brook and now that brook is dry. That thing that you used to go to that you used to always knew you could depend on, that person you know you used to could always depend on, that situation, that circumstance. And now you find yourself there and you realize that what now is no longer sustaining you. There's a book many years ago I used to read called Who Moved the Cheese? And basically in this book, Who Moves the Cheese? Is about being what? Flexible, because you find that you have the two rats named Him and Ha, and Him and Ha have found a cheese pile, and they got to the point that they had gotten complacent with eating at the cheese. They knew where the cheese was every day. They made themselves fat. In fact, what they did is they built their house around that cheese place, and they just thought the cheese was always be there. But one day they started to notice that the cheese was getting smaller. Mm-hmm. They started to notice that the cheese was getting smaller, but when they decided, they became complacent. Come on, church. Are y'all with me this morning? That they became complacent in what they were seeing and what they were doing. How many of you know that sometimes today in the church, we become complacent? That's why we see, you know, sisters and brothers, that we see our young people are out in the streets and they're not coming to church anymore. And we claim a pandemic this and pandemic that. But what is happening is that we as the church have rested on our laurels. We've forgotten how to pray. We've forgotten how to turn our plates over and fast. We forgot what it is to live holy. We forgot what it is to cry out the Lord. We forgot what it is to intercede for somebody else, that we become complacent in our nice homes and our nice cars and our nice jobs and our nice money that we make, that we forget that we got a Jehovah Jireh that's still our provider, that if all these things go away, what are we going to do? Oh, come on, somebody. Because we find ourselves now in the time of inflation. Now gas prices here, at least in North Carolina, are almost $4 a gallon. I've never seen $4 gas in North Carolina, I don't think. Maybe one time or other. That we find now you can go get a loaf of bread about $4 a gallon. A gallon of milk might cost you about $6. And at this point in time, people's jobs are not getting more paid. But it seems like the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. But I'm here to tell you today, what are you going to do? Are you going to drink from the brook? What are you going to do if the brook runs dry? And what we find here today, that now where Elijah is in a place that the brook has run dry. The Bible said the brook has run dry. And when we started in verse 8 there, he tells them to what? To go to the city. Go to the city, and there was what? A widow there who is going to sustain you. Do you not know that God has already placed a way of escape for you? All we got to do is follow his path and follow his direction and do what it is he called us to do, to say what he's called us to say, to move how he's called us to move, to walk how he's called us to walk, to talk how he's called us to talk, to live how he's called us to live, which is holy unto him. See, he already had what a way already set up. And I find it odd. We talked about the widows here. I've taught on widows before, that the widows here are what? These are some of the poorest people that you're going to find. The widow, this woman, she's barely making a while, because a widow typically in this day and time, in this particular part of time, we find out that what the women were married to the men and they actually became property. This is why you take your husband's last name, and he was responsible for all that you do. But now he's dead. And she's a widow and she's left with a son. This is why the Bible tells us what, that we take care of the widows. This is why we take care of the, we take tithes and offer. Tithes and offer just ain't for the preacher to get fat, but it's what? For the taking care of the church and the taking care of the widows and the orphans. Oh, come on, somebody. That's Bible. Go read it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So hey, anyway, he said, look, bringing all the meat into my house, what, that they will be into the storehouse, that there would be meat in my house. So we are to what, take care of the widows and the orphans and those people. Amen. So now what, he goes on and he's here and he walks in and he meets a widow. And in fact, the Bible says she only can find two sticks, because what she's preparing to do, she's preparing to make a fire for her meal. And in fact, what she's, the prophet challenges her and asks her to say, look, go make me some bread. And her response to her is like, I don't have any. How many of you know sometimes you've been asked for things and you say that, I don't have it? Because all you know is what you have. All you know is what you see. All you know, but see, this thing requires some faith. This thing requires us to look beyond our sight. This thing calls us to, that requires us to look sight beyond sight, to look beyond where we are. See, some of us, we cannot get, you know, past where we are, because we see the forest, Lord, before the tree. And all we see is our certain situation, our circumstance. We don't see the way that he's already made. We don't know the way that he's already made. Why? Because we're so stuck on what it is that we've been in. We're so stuck in what we've known to. And we're so stuck in being complacent to where we are, that we get like him and hard. We don't move. Because as I continue that story of him and Hard move, what happens is they don't move. And the other rats in the maze notice that the cheese is moving. So what they do is they start looking for new cheese. Mm-hmm. But him and Hard get complacent. They said, this cheese is here. It's never going nowhere. This cheese is always going to be here. But one day came that what, that cheese was gone. And what do? They still stayed in the same place of complacency, thinking what? This cheese has got to come back. Ask yourself, how many of you have been finding yourself in a place of complacency to say, no, I'm going to stay right here because I know it's going to come back. I'm here to tell you today, it's not coming back. We're not going to know church the way that we knew it anymore. Oh, yeah, we might still go back to the building and all this thing, but church is never going to be the way it was anymore. That, you know, us being online, you know, I don't believe it's going to be all that, but I do believe that this is going to be an integral part of what we do going forward, because church is not going to be the way we know it anymore. Because if you want to find the cheese, then you're going to have to move. Amen. You cannot rely and be stuck in complacency. God is saying to you on today that if you want something different, you have to do something different. You have to get up off your do nothing stool, and you got to walk these streets. You got to talk in these hallways. You got to be in these virtual environments. You got to be in the metaverse. Oh, come on, somebody. You got to go out and reach out into them and compel them to come and know that God is able to do above and beyond and exceedingly glad, that he's able to do all these things if you ask him to do them, if you reach out to him. So him and Hop find themselves what? They are stuck and they die in their complacency. I encourage you, go read the book, Who Moved My Cheese? So now as we go back to here to the biblical story, that we have what Elijah's asked the woman to make him a piece of bread, a cake, in fact. And the woman goes on to tell him that I don't have any to make a cake. In fact, all I have is enough basically for me and my son, and that's going to be it. All I have is this little bit of bread, and I have this little bit of kersal oil, and I'm going to go home, and I'm going to make my little fire, and we're going to eat this, and then we're going to die. Why? Because there's a famine in the land. There's a famine in the land. Why is there a famine in the land? Because there's no rain. Without rain, remember I told you, the water, what sustains things? It sustains things. So here, now she's going back to the home, and what does he do? The prophet challenges her. As much as I'm challenging you, he challenges her. What does he challenge her with? He said, no, make me first. Watch this. Make me first a bread and give me a cake. And then you make for you and your son. Now watch this. This is two things that you need to pay attention to here. First of all, he speaks to her faith. He said, number one, you make me a cake first. Now remember, she already has determined that she only has enough for two. She's already determined that she only has enough for two. She said, me and my son, and then we're going to die. But he told her, no, you make me one first. So now there's what? A third person added to this. There's a third person to this. So now if she only thinks she has enough for two, where's the third one coming from? So he talks to her faith. Sometimes when you're asked to do things that you're looking at yourself, Lord, how am I going to do this? Lord, this is all I have. This is all I know. This is all. And God is speaking to your faith to see if you're going to activate on your faith. Number two thing here that you learn here is that he's learned, who would you put first? She knows that Elijah is a prophet. She knows that he's the man of God. And the man of God asked him what? Put God first. See, some of us struggle with this piece. Why? Because we lean into our own understanding. We say, okay, all I got is two. But see, what she comes to the realization is that, you know what? That, okay, God, if we're going to die, we're going to die on your terms. I don't know about you, but I think God is a pretty good bet. If I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out on his terms. I'm going to go out how he has me to go out. I'm going to go out the way that he told me to go out. Why? Because I believe that he's a safe bet. So what does she do then? The Bible said then when she changes her mind and she goes in and she does what? She goes to her house and she invites Elijah over to the house and she makes him what? A bread first. She makes him a bread first. What? Keep ye what? Keep ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. For those who are taking notes today, there yet what? You have more, and your more starts with number one, for those who are taking notes, your faith. The Bible said without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if it's impossible to please God and you don't have faith, how can you go forward? So first of all, what he challenges her faith. He challenges her faith, and number one, he asked her to make another piece of bread. And when she said, I only got enough for two, how do you make another one? And when I know I only got enough for two, but in her faith, what does she do? She goes forth and she makes another. Watch this. Third part, she believes. She believes faith in what? And belief. Why? Because the prophet tells her that if you make this and you'll do this, that what? That your barrel will not run out of meal. There will always be something in your barrel. There will always be what? Oil in your curse. But all she can see is what she sees, because she can see the bottom of the barrel. Have y'all ever seen, like, a, you know, when I was young, we used to eat oatmeal and them old Quaker oats with the older white man look like with the long hair. And you can see the bottom of that barrel sometimes. And you're like, whoo, it ain't much in here. And I can only think that's kind of how she felt when she was looking in the bottom of that barrel. But the Bible tells me that every time she went to that barrel, there was a little bit more. Oh, come on, somebody. That every time she went to that barrel and she scooped out a little bit, it seemed like there was a little bit more. And every time she went to that cursor oil and to get a little bit there, there was what? A little bit more. See, God is just looking for somebody to be a willing vessel on today. He wants to know, are you willing to be a vessel for him? He's not asking you to do it by yourself. He's never asked you to do it alone. He said that I would never lead you, never forsake you. I never seen the righteous forsaken nor the seed begging for bread. That you are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. So he's never asked you to do it alone, but he's asking, would you be willing? Would you be willing to believe him? Would you be willing to trust him? Would you be willing to walk out of faith and be that vessel and be that one that he's asked in this day to help people go forward, to help understand where they are, to help what they're going through? That what he gives, what? Transformation to thought. Oh, come on, somebody. He always gives you more. He always gives you more. Number two today, for those who are taking scripture and taking verses today, there's a transformation that occurs. A transformation. There's a transformation that occurs. You think about it. Okay, I don't have physical bodies. I don't know about you, but I got some fat on my body. It's some fat that I would like to remove. There's some fat that I would like to go, but there has to be what a transformation process for that fat to come off my body. Are y'all with me? There's got to be a transformation. In fact, what happens is that they tell me from science that once my body has used up all the easy energy, watch this. Once my body has used up all the easy energy, what it would do is go and get with this stuff we call stored fat. And what it does with the stored fat is it has the ability to transform that stored fat now to a sugar that can be used for energy. Did y'all catch that? It's able to take the stored fat that's on my body, it transforms it and turns it into what? New energy. See, many of you, you think you don't have any more. Why? Because right now your stomach's growling. See, before you can take that transformation, your stomach's going to growl for a while. See, well, you know, I've been on some diets before, and I've been on keto diets, excuse me, and all these things. And what happens is those diets, like a keto diet, you have to be on it for a while for your body what switches over to what they call the fat-burning stage. And what happens is your body has to deplete all the carbohydrates or the easy. See, we like the easy stuff. Your body likes the easy stuff. This is why we do that, because if we war after the flesh, if we go after the flesh always wants to do the easy stuff. Mm-hmm. So what it do? So your body does what? It takes up all the easy carbohydrates because it's easy to make that in sugar. Why? Because it's readily available. So as you continue to eat a bunch of carbohydrates, but when your body becomes what they call carb depleted, then your body has to still what? It still needs those carbohydrates to operate. And you and I don't know about you, but I can talk for me that I have some extra pounds on my body. And what happens is that then it goes in there and it does the hard work. It does the hard work. It does the hard work of what? Transforming that fat into energy. Mm-hmm. And see, much is like our faith that when we get to that part that we feel like we have no more, there comes that hard work of faith that transforms by the renewing of your mind. It says that I have more. There is more yet to give. There is yet. I'm not done yet. Come on, touch somebody and tell them I'm not done yet. Because you have some. See, some of you have been in church all your life, and you've been storing up this stuff, and you don't realize that you're walking around and you're spiritually overweight. Some of you need to be on a spiritual diet. You didn't been to church. You didn't ate from everybody's table. You're to the point that you're dragging yourself around. But now it's time that what you use up some of that energy. Now it's time that you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now it's time for you to grow up and what use some of that which God has given you. That you sit here at the table and you've gotten fat, but who have you helped? You sat here at the table and you've gotten big and you've gotten your fill, but who have you helped? You've gotten your cup overflow. We always talk about, Lord, fill my cup, Lord, until I won't no more. And you've gotten and you ate and you ate and you ate, but what have you done with what you have? Oh, I'm challenging you today. What have you done with what you have? Have you gone out in the streets and the highways and compelled them to come? Have you talked to the goodness of Jesus? Have you reached to somebody else? Have you grown up? Have you used some of that stored energy? Have you used some of that spiritual fatness on you to go out and help somebody else? Have you turned down your plate every now and then to say, Lord, I need to seek your face. Lord, I need to reach out to you. Lord, I need a little bit more from you, oh God. I need to know, Lord, that at the end of the day, that my curse will not fail, that my curse will always have oil. See, God is reminding us that if you're in his will, and if you're in his way, and if you're going about it in his way, and if you're doing what he's called you to do, and you're moving the way he's called you to move, and you're talking the way he's called you to talk, that he will sustain you in the day of trouble, that he has a brook that you can drink from, that he has birds out of the air that he'll call on, he has a widow woman that's going to make a cake for you, that's going to sacrifice for you to be able to be where you need to be, to do what it is you need to do, to go where you need to go, and what? In turn, that God is going to bless our house. How many of us deny others their blessings because we don't want to go? How many of us deny others their blessings because we decide not to move? That you, but you know what? You have to understand and know that you have more than enough. See, some of us, we look at ourselves and we look and say, well, you know, I don't have this and I don't have that. Well, I'm here to tell you today that you have more than most people have. If you're under the sound of my voice on today, if you're listening to what I'm saying on today, if you're taking this in and you're taking this right, that you have more. All you got to do is what? Step out. You say, well, I cuss up a little bit. Step out. Well, I'm fornicating a little bit. Step out. I'm out here cheating and I'm in adultery. Step out. I'm lying on my taxes. Step out. I'm cheating them on the job. Step out. None of us are perfect. All of us have fallen short, but it starts with that first step. not getting complacent where you are. It starts with that first step. I think evil thoughts, step out. I want to quit, step out. What does he tell Peter? He tells Peter, Peter said, Jesus, if that's you out there, bid me to come. And what does Peter do? He steps out of the boat. And as long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he walked on the water. But the moment he started to listen to everybody else, the moment he started to listen to what the naysayers said, he said, you aren't supposed to be doing that. You're not good enough to be preaching. Oh, come on, somebody. You don't supposed to be doing that. You're not pretty enough to be out there in that beauty pageant. Oh, you don't supposed to be doing that. You're not smart enough to run that school or to run that situation or to run that organization. Oh, you shouldn't be out there. Why? Because you just not. Who told you that you were naked? If God be for you, he's more than the whole world against you. You have more. You have more. As she went to her barrel, the Bible says what? She continued to go to her barrel. And every time she went to her barrel, the Bible said what? There was always more there to win until he supplied this guy with water to fall from. Because see, when you're providing for yourself, he's not required. Did you catch that? When you are providing for yourself, he's not required to provide for you. Why? Because you're doing it. And some of us been doing it for a long time, and we wonder, say, God, where are you? He's letting you do you, baby. Y'all walk around, do me, let me do me, let me do me. Well, have at it. He's letting you do you. But when you decide, I don't no longer want to do me, but I want to do you. I don't no longer want to rely on me, but I want to rely on you. Then he will lead and guide and direct those paths. Yes, the double harvest is here. But are you so busy eating off your harvest that you're not relying on his? Are you so busy caught up in what you caught up into that you're not listening to what he's saying? Are you so busy running to where he's, you know, what you want to do and how you want to do it and how you want to say it, but you're not hearing what God is saying? There's a day and a time and a season. And in this season in our lives, he's calling us what? Number one, to activate our faith more. Y'all, we in a faith season. You're not just going to get on this, but it requires our faith. Your faith, the Bible said what? We are being made whole by what? Our faith. And it's our faith that's going to keep us. It's our faith that's going to move us. It's our faith that's going to take us. It's our faith that's going to run us. It's our faith that's going to move us. It's our faith. To believe that, you know what, Lord, I'm going to put you first. And even if I go home and I perish, I know I'm going to see the King. But she didn't perish. That was what? A transformation that took place. A transformation that took place. And as a result of this, and you'll read on later on, if you keep reading on this, and I encourage you to read the rest of this chapter, you find that this lady's son is sick. And this son died. And a result of her blessing the man of God, what does the man of God do? He returns the blessing by stretching his body out over the sick boy and breathing life back into his lungs. Here to tell you today, when you help somebody else, God has no reason but to bless you. When you put somebody else first, when you seek somebody else, the Bible says, you know, one who gives his life actually finds it. It's not about you. What can you do to help somebody else? What can you do to help change somebody else's life? You spiritually fed. You know the Bible. You know the verses. You just don't live them. And we got to do a better job of living that. That's why we're scared. Me included. Why? Because I'm like, well, what if that one I missed? And God said, no, baby, go forward. Because this cheese is not going to stay. You cannot get complacent where you are. So you got to start walking. Yes, it's a struggle. Yes, you may fall. But what? We fall down. But we get back up. The Bible said, well, a just man falls 7 times. But what makes him just is that he knows he has the power to give up. And I want to remind you on today that you can get up and that you have more than enough. God bless you all. Love you all. This is all that I have for you on today. Hey, man, I hope that this has been a blessing to you on this day, that God is continuing to.